Greetings once again, my friends in Christ. It's Pastor Bob, and this is your middle Sabbath. Amen. This is also our 45th episode of Daily Respite. My, oh my, how did we come so far? Well, this week we're listening to Richard Rohr, Father Richard, and his weekly theme, What Do We Do With Money?, has led us to today's devotion called Rights and Responsibilities. And don't forget, tonight we will have our Zoom discussion call. That's at 7 p.m. Central Time. And the link for that call is right on this very email in which you received this devotion. So look for that little link, put your mouse pointer right on it and click it, and you should be good to go. Once you get on, we'll help you find your way. Listen to us, experts in Zoom. Hey, let's get to devoting today. Let's take a breath, settle in. It's just a lovely rainy Wednesday here. I think we're all getting rebaptized today down here. I don't know how it is in Arthur, but I'll be there tonight. And I'm looking forward to that. But now let's settle our hearts. Rights and responsibilities when it comes to money. In his unpublished Notes on Money, Father Richard explores a parable that has often troubled faithful Christians, including pastors, theologians, and scholars alike. Here's what Father Richard says today. Maybe the key to an honest Jesus hermeneutic around money has been lost in a parable that many of us never liked anyway. The parable of the 10 gold coins. Let me offer you a different slant on this story that, in my experience, few preachers have addressed. A nobleman pays his staff equally well beforehand, and then, upon leaving, says to them, "Do business with this while I am away." He leaves the country. By the way, this parable, if you want to follow along, I guess that'd be good to know, wouldn't it? Is in the Gospel of Luke, and if you go to chapter 19, in the verse 13 area, that's where this parable is. It says, "Do business with this while I am away." Luke 19:13. He leaves the country, freeing the servants from any pressure or duress. For anything to be a virtue, it must be a free choice, you see, not just a mandate. Most of us were never taught that psychological truth. For anything to be a virtue, it must be a free choice, not a mandate. Jesus' words must be seen as descriptive, what is possible, much more than prescriptive, what must be done. He is always describing and thus inviting his listeners into a big, inclusive life of love, which he calls the reign of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. No language of counting or commanding can get you there. So, the nobleman is telling his servants to do something with the money. Yes, I am paying you well, but do something with it. It is the one servant who refuses to do any business with the money who is deemed fully at fault. He loses what he stashed away in fear. He claims his right to the money, but shows no responsibility for putting it to use. This always bothersome text has finally become more clear to me. Money becomes evil when rights are not balanced by responsibilities, and responsibilities are not balanced by rights. When these are balanced, money can do a great deal of good, both for the giver and the receiver, and hopefully for others. There's surely nothing bad about that. This interpretation keeps us from wrongly framing the issue, as so many have done in history, by making the rich or the poor inherently bad or inherently virtuous. Individuals in both economic groups can be materialistic consumers or generous-hearted givers, just at their own scale. Paul never said money is the root of all evil, as he is often quoted to have said. He said the love of money is the root of all evils. By the way, that's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. It's the love of money that is the root of all evils. This is a major difference. When at the individual or family level, we balance our rights with our responsibilities, money can be a moral good for all concerned. A corporation acts morally when it balances its rights to a just profit with its responsibilities for the common good, upon which it depends and profits. Most Western individualism refuses to recognize this common good. Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Kentucky were wise to name themselves commonwealths instead of states, although now it has just become an empty word. When a person, a community, or a corporation does not consistently seek this balance, they no longer work for the common good. This can become a web of deceits that benefits the very few. When the dominance and enthrallment of money controls almost every aspect of life, as we largely see today, it has become a demon beyond moral control. Today, this demon is destroying the common good and even our common home, as Pope Francis calls the planet. Let us pray. Loving God, you fill all things with a fullness and hope that we can never comprehend. Thank you for leading us into a time where more of reality is being unveiled for us all to see. We pray that you will take away our natural temptation for cynicism, denial, fear, and despair. Help us have the courage to awaken to greater truth, greater humility, and greater care for one another. May we place our hope in what matters and what lasts, trusting in your eternal presence and love. Now, O God, listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our suffering world. Knowing, good God, you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer these prayers in all the holy names of God. Amen. Don't forget, 7 o'clock tonight Central Time, Zoom discussion group. Hope to see you there. Blessings on your middle Sabbath.